Good evening, everybody. Last several weeks, we have been in 2 Samuel 22. We're not going there to start tonight. And you might be wondering where we're going instead. So I must say that the Lord used Hayden, and I wish he was here tonight, to provide some direction in addition to something else that happened here recently with my Bible reading, to show where to go next. And we're going through all these statements in 2 Samuel 22. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my deliverer, refuge, salvation, all these things. So Hayden comes up a couple weeks ago after church and he says, what about the Lord is my shepherd? And I said, what are you talking about? And I'm thinking to myself, that's not in 2 Samuel 22, Hayden. But he knew that too. And he said, come on. The Lord is my shepherd. And then I thought, yeah, duh. So we're not covering shepherd tonight. But what's interesting is, I'm in Psalms right now in my Bible reading, and I came across Psalm 23 here very recently. And the Lord said, okay, now you're not going to do that one yet, but we'll do that one eventually. Instead, I started looking at all the instances of, in the Bible, where it says, the Lord is my, and there's a ton of them, so we might be going on this for a while. But we're going to start off in Exodus 14 tonight. Exodus 14. Some of these tonight will be a little bit out of order, but I'm going to try to go Old Testament, and then we'll move over to the New Testament towards the end. So Exodus chapter 14, go towards the end. Just to give you a little background on this chapter, this is the chapter where the Israelites cross the Red Sea miraculously. How do they cross the Red Sea? Dry ground. And what happened to Pharaoh's armies when they tried to cross the Red Sea thinking they were going to make it over on dry ground? The Lord brought the waters on top of them and they all drowned. So let's read that. Look at 27. I'm in Exodus 14, verse 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Okay, so there's the miracle. And then you get to the next chapter. Watch what happens right after the miracle. You don't want to miss this. Verse 1, then Moses and the children of Israel, let me back up. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So watch verse 2. The Lord is my strength. Let's keep going. And song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. So I want to focus on the first part of verse 2. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. So first thing I'd like to mention here is you have two kinds of strength. You have physical strength, and you have spiritual strength. I've known many a physically strong individual that was spiritually very weak. And I've known many physically weak individuals that are spiritually very strong. Now, which would you prefer? I hope you would lean towards having more spiritual strength. Now, in a perfect world, nice to have both, right? Really nice to have both. But you understand that, and I'll get to this at the end, say it now and then revisit it later. You understand that when we are physically weak, that's oftentimes what it takes for us to say, Lord, I need your strength. And when you start talking to the Lord like that, something spiritual happens. And the Lord gets you through the physical, and you attribute the getting through the physical only to the Lord. And what He's doing is He's upholding you spiritually so that you can continue physically. It's a great thing. Isn't it something that it takes us getting weak physically to really seek the Lord? I think it was not long after Sherry and I started attending here. I used to think, what's wrong with these people who have back problems? What's wrong with them? So guess what happened? The Lord said, oh, you want to know how back problems are? And what I did is I was trying to show off a little bit in the weight room. I was deadlifting way more than I should have been. And I messed up my back. And I had that sciatica running down the back of my leg. It's awful. Somebody in here had it. It is awful. And it got worse and worse to the point where every step I took was painful for a little while. It wasn't a long time, but for a little while. And how do you think my prayer life was during that time? It drastically improved. You know why? I said, Lord, I can't even walk. Because I'm very active. I try to be very active. And the job I have requires that. And here I was having trouble doing basic things like put my shoes on. Because my back was hurting. And when you can't even put your shoes on, you're asking for help. And I'm not going to ask my wife to help me put my shoes on. Because if you're a man, that's weak, right? So you're trying to put your shoes, at least I was, I'm trying to put my shoes on and saying, Lord, I'm not going to ask Sherry to help me put my shoes on. You're going to have to help me get these shoes on. So isn't it something that's what it takes? It takes us being weak physically for us to say, Lord, I need help. And the Lord, what He does, is He comes alongside you and leads you spiritually and upholds you spiritually to get you through the weak physical moments. So with that in mind, first thing, let's talk about the challenge concerning strength and our concern. We are so concerned with physical strength more so than we should be. I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but we get overburdened thinking, I have to be strong physically. Let me show you something about that. Go to Judges chapter 16. Now, who's the man that comes to mind when you think of strong men in the Bible? Yeah, one name probably comes to mind, Samson. So I want to show you something about Samson's physical strength. But then we will see where he loses that strength here in a moment. So look at verse 1. I'm always impressed with, we'll get to verse 2 here. It's really, really neat. Verses 2 and 3, really neat. Verse 1 is really rough, and then it's something very interesting in verse 2 and 3. So Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and notice what it says. What's the next word after and? Yeah, and look at this. And saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And what happens to Samson later on? He loses his eyes. You remember that? And I believe that was God's judgment on him, because what's his problem right there in that first verse? He's looking in the wrong places. All right, we can say a whole lot about that, but let's go on. Verse 2. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And we're quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. So watch what happens in verse 3. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them up on his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. So there's some neat things there in verse 3. First of all, that's impressive strength. Would you say that's impressive physical strength? He takes the gates of the city, bars, posts, bar and all, puts them on his shoulders, and he doesn't just carry them. Did you catch the little detail at the end of verse 3? He carried them where? To the top of an hill. So I mentioned here a while back about this thing I have at home. I have a sandbag that I'll throw on my shoulder and walk. Well, I'm not walking uphill. How would that be if I walked uphill? How would that go if I walked uphill with that thing? Even harder. So I don't know if you've ever tried carrying anything heavy uphill for, I mean, it doesn't take very, we're talking 50 meters, 100 meters. You're tired. It zaps you physically to do that. So one little neat thing about your Bible, and one of many neat things about your Bible, when from verse 3, you know what I get from that? I get a glimpse into modern day strength and conditioning methods in verse 3. Because you know what the guys do today? They get heavy stuff and they carry them uphill. And if you live in Florida and you don't have hills, you know what you do? You step up on a box and you step down. And you step up on a box again, you step down. Or you get one of those stair steppers, and you get some weight on there and do that. So you talk about some serious getting your heart rate up and difficult physically. So I noticed that verse, and God gives you a little glimpse into the world of strength and conditioning. He tells you how you can really build some muscle right in that verse there. Get heavy stuff, carry it uphill. If you don't have hills, get heavy stuff and carry it, period, right? So that's impressive. We look at that verse and say, Samson was strong. All right, now let's go on here. Verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. Now watch this statement. Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, before I keep reading, can you tell me, where did Samson's great strength come from? Folks, his great strength was far beyond any man, at least at this time in history. He does these impressive feats. And you have to attribute that miraculous strength to only the Lord. Now, I know people read the passage here, and we'll get to it in a moment, where it was connected with his hair. Well, why did he have to have his hair long? He took the vow of a Nazarite. Ultimately, that Nazarite vow is a vow to who? That's a vow to the Lord, that he would do some things and set himself apart. This is real sanctification back in biblical times. He would be different than a lot of the rest, than practically everybody else. Wasn't that many people that took this Nazarite vow. So he wasn't supposed to drink strong drink, wasn't supposed to cut his hair, and there's some other things associated with it. But this was ultimately a commitment and an oath to the Lord. So his strength comes from the Lord, not because, he wouldn't cut his hair. I know there's a relationship there, but ultimately it's the Lord that gave him the strength. So you see the passage here, I'll skip along here, but you find out that the Philistines go through a woman to get to Samson. Isn't that interesting? They go through a woman to get to Samson. What was Samson's weakness? He kept looking around at women. And he maintains his stance to not give in, but he can't keep it up. Because you know what she does? She keeps pressing and pressing. Isn't this how the devil works, by the way? He just keeps coming and coming. And you got to resist once. You got to call on the Lord again. You got to resist twice. You got to call on the Lord again. You got to resist 3 and 4 and 5 times and keep the Lord included there, or else you'll end up just like Samson as far as trying to trust yourself, trying to get things done on your own. So look at what happens here. If you look at verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Now, verse 16 is a really interesting verse. You can say this is the woman, and it's true, but this is how the devil works. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her what? It was her words. Her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. And that's the power of a woman's words to a man. Verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto who? Unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Love of money. There it is. Verse 19, and she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him. Watch it. And his strength went from him. And look at half of verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that, watch this, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, you're in the Old Testament. Holy Spirit came and went in the Old Testament, right? Not so in the church age. And when we study dispensations, we talk about that a little more. But here, the Old Testament, Holy Spirit would be upon a man and it would go, depending on what the man did. Look at verse 20. But the Philistines took him, look what they do, and put out his eyes. Isn't that what got him in trouble in the first place? And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So I just take you there to begin to show you the challenge concerning strength. Here's the challenge concerning strength. We all have this challenge. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter how old you are. The challenge is us saying to the Lord, now you may not say it aloud, but you think it. You say something like, Lord, I got this one. I can take care of this. I know you would never do that. But let's be honest. There's instances where we think, this is not really that big of a deal. I can handle this. And you soon find out you can't. Folks, we all need to understand, and I need the reminder as much as anybody, maybe more than anybody, even the little things in our life, we need to rely on the Lord to take care of those. Because if you rely on the little things, you're more inclined to rely on the big things. If you don't rely on the little things, things will have to go really backwards and sideways for you to start getting close to the Lord. So lean on the Lord with the little challenges you have and the big challenges. Because the challenge is for us to say, we should say, Lord, help me, instead of, you don't say it loud because you don't want anybody to know that. You don't even tell the Lord, but you think it to yourself. So hopefully, I know I'm being honest when I say that myself, and I think that's probably most people. At some time or another, you think, oh, I can take care of this, and we really can't. Go over to 1 Chronicles 16. Transition to this next point, but go to 1 Chronicles 16 first. 1 Chronicles 16. Where does strength come from? Who is the source of our strength? And it's easy to say, well, yeah, the Lord is my source of spiritual strength, but how is it that you had the ability to get out of your car tonight and walk in here and sit down, and if you have the ability to get up out of your seat tonight and walk back to your car, who gave you that ability? Who gave you the strength to do that? Well, I got muscles that did that. The Lord gave you the muscles and the strength to do that. You got to remember that. Everything we do, I mean, everybody here, I'm sure you did something productive today. Whether you cleaned something or helped somebody out or something to try, you did something productive. You and I did not do that in our own strength. You say, it was my hand that wrote the letter. It was my hand that picked up this or that. Or it was my hand that opened the car door. It was my legs that walked in. No, the Lord gave you the strength to do every one of those things. Isn't that right? You've got to remember that. Or else you get prideful thinking, I got this. I can take care of this. And none of us can. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Great verse to put in your pocket. Seek the Lord and His what? Strength. Seek the Lord and His strength. And then notice the verse, the end of it. Seek His face when you're weak. That's not what it says. Seek His face when you're in trouble. Seek His face continually. That's the right version right there. Seek His face continually. Very good. So the strength comes from the Lord. The challenge is continually relying on the Lord for strength. Now, here's the next thing. Let's go over to Deuteronomy. You've got to go back to your left here. Deuteronomy 31, point number two, the command concerning strength. Got the challenge concerning strength. How about the command concerning strength? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, go down there to verse 6. I'll show you three places, maybe more actually, if we have some time here. I'll show you three places where your Bible says almost the exact same phrase. So if your Bible says the same thing, now you know the answer to this, but it's good to repeat it. The Bible says the same thing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Why did the Lord do that? He wants you to remember it. And you say, well, why would the Lord want me to remember it? Because we're inclined to forget it. If He says it that many times, He knows it's something we need to hear because we're either inclined to discard it and not think it's all that important, or we just outright forget it. So the Lord wants us to keep it, not discard it, and remember it, not forget it. So go down to verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. This is the Lord talking to Moses here. It says, be, what's that next word? Strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. How come? Watch the rest of the verse. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Command. That's not an option. That's a command. And I know you're thinking, we're studying dispensations. That's written to the Jew of the Old Testament. We can discard that. Folks, Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So actually, there's something that matches even something that Paul wrote. So you know what you can do? You can say, the Lord wants me to be strong. The Lord wants me to rely on Him for strength. It's here in the Old Testament. You see it over there in the New Testament as well. Now go over to verse 7. Look at this. See the same thing. Next verse. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So Moses told Joshua what the Lord told him. And he tells Joshua because Joshua has a big challenge ahead. Joshua's got to lead all these complaining Israelites to the promised land, right? He's got to get them across the Jordan River into the promised land. That's a challenge. God knew that Joshua would need some help. So he uses Moses to encourage him. He says, hey, Moses, tells Joshua. Joshua, be strong. The Lord will be with you. He'll help you. You got to trust Him. Go over to Joshua chapter 1. And you'll see that the Lord Himself says the same thing that Moses told Joshua that the Lord initially told Moses. Go to Joshua 1. Look at verse 6. Joshua 1, 6. The Lord talking to Joshua, be strong. And we've seen this three times. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. All right, go down to verse 9, Joshua 1, 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Notice strength and courage go hand in hand here. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. How about another? Go down to verse 18. Verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be what? Strong and of a good courage. Folks, that's four times we've seen that. We've looked at four different places here. We've seen it four times. Be strong. And then add on to that, of a good courage. Strength and courage come from the Lord. Strength and courage from the Lord go hand in hand. How about one more in Joshua? Go to chapter 10. You get along here, they get across the Jordan River. Oh, so they're in the promised land. Everything's great. No problems in the promised land, right? Right? No problems in the promised land. Can't have any problems over there because that's a perfect place, right? Not so. Look at verse 25. Still problems in the promised land. They had to rely on the Lord even when they got there to conquer the promised land. Look at 10:25. And Joshua said unto them, he's addressing some Israelites here. He says, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. Watch the end of it. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Hey, how are they going to defeat the people in the promised land, those Canaanites? How are they going to defeat them? They were going to have to fight. But you find out there was an instance there in Joshua where they don't ask the Lord what they should do. They just decided, yeah, we're going to go fight this battle. And you know what happens? They get whooped. And they go back and they call on the Lord. And they say, oh, what happened? We thought you were going to give us this. And the Lord said, well, you got some things you got to straighten out first, and then I'll help you defeat them. And they did. So go over to Joshua 17. How about one more here? The command concerning strength. The Lord says something twice, that's enough. But we've seen it four or five times here. How about one more? Joshua 17. Now you're getting towards the end of the book. So surely by now they've got everything figured out in the promised land. Everything's great. Well, not exactly. Look at verse 14. This is the tribe of Manasseh. that actually the children of Joseph here, so Manasseh is mentioned in verse 12, they come to Joshua wanting some more land. And look what Joshua says to them. Look at verse 15, actually. 17, 15. And Joshua answered them, "If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." So watch the response he gets. He says, "Go and cut down some more land and conquer that land if you want more land." So look what they say. And the children of Joseph said, "The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshan and her towns and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." So there's excuse making right there. They say, "Oh, we just can't get enough." Verse 17, "And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only." Watch verse 18. "But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down. And the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." You know what Joshua was telling them? Joshua was reminding them, the Lord promised to give us this land. And if you will trust the Lord when you go and try to take more land, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to give it to you. But they make excuses, they complain, they whine, they say, we don't have enough. And Joshua keeps saying, go take it, trust the Lord to take it, and He'll help you conquer those people. But isn't that something? I think that's a great lesson. And a lot of times, I know this is nobody in here, but there's times where Christian people would rather just sit back and whine and complain instead of get up and say, Lord, help me. I need your help going about doing such and such, and then proceed to go do it. But instead, we like to just sit around and be lazy and complain and whine. I know none of you would do that, right? But we have a tendency to do that. So there's the command concerning strength. Be strong. Rely on the Lord to give you strength. Okay, so last thing here, just in time here, the content of biblical strength. So some things about specifics when it comes to spiritual strength, what the Bible says about spiritual strength. So go to Luke chapter 1. This will all be New Testament stuff. Luke chapter 1. I got several verses here. Try to hit a few here in closing. Luke chapter 1. This is John the Baptist who's referred to here. You've got to go all the way to the end. Last verse in the chapter. Verse 80. Long chapter, Luke chapter 1. This is John the Baptist. He's born before Jesus Christ. I think about 6 months before the Lord is born. John the Baptist is born. So look at verse 80. It says, "And the child grew," and watch this little phrase here, "and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." I think that's an important verse when it comes to the ministry of John the Baptist. Would you say John the Baptist had great spiritual strength? Yeah, look at his ministry. The guy went out and, first off, didn't he have a strange diet? Locusts and wild honey? And then he'd go into the most random, strange places and preach a message that nobody had ever heard before. He's preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, so this is new. And he does not care what people think of him. He's got weird dress, weird diet, preaching a message that is kind of strange to the people he's preaching to, and they don't want to hear it, because nobody wants to be told to repent. And I believe it's the strength that God gave him that enabled him to do that. And here's the kicker. The strength that God gave him enabled him to do that. And, you ready? Not care what anybody else thought. When the Lord is giving you the strength, you do it and you don't care about the world. Because you're trusting on the Lord and He's holding you up. That's a good place to be, isn't it? So then, go to chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and you'll see something about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Very similar to what we saw about John the Baptist. So these are two babies, John the Baptist and the Lord. Look what your Bible says about them. They're born, and then the growth process, and you know how their adulthood was. Obviously, incredible when it came to doing something for the Lord. Watch what it says about the Lord, verse 40 of chapter 2. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in..." See, there's spiritual strength present in the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. That is how they were able to live the lives they did for the Lord. The Lord gave them great spiritual strength. You look at these two men, they continually relied on the Lord. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is something John the Baptist said in John 3:30. He said, "He," talking about the Lord, "must increase. I must decrease." So you know what? John the Baptist knew something about himself. He knew the Lord would outlast him. And he knew that his time was short. And he knew that in that short time, he would have to rely on the Lord to get anything done that mattered for eternity. And that's exactly what he did. What a great example he was, John the Baptist. And then the Lord right here, obviously, from the very beginning and as a child and then as he got older, strong in spirit. So I stop here to tell you, we all need spiritual strength so much more than we need physical strength. It's good to have physical strength. You can get a lot done. I understand that. But don't the two kind of go hand in hand? If you have physical strength, it's the Lord that gave it to you. And when times get tough, no matter how much you put on your back to squat or bench press or deadlift or anything, tough times come. It doesn't matter how much you can lift. The spiritual strength is going to get you through, isn't it? That's what's going to get you through. So, this is a whole other message, but don't we need to build some spiritual muscle? You know how you build spiritual muscle? It takes time. It takes effort. Spending time in God's Word. Spending time in prayer. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes a conscious effort. Just like if I want to get stronger physically, and if anybody in here does, you got to carve out time in your day. And you really, if you want to have a quality time, you need about 30 minutes. 30 minutes is good. More than that's even better. But 30 minutes is good so that you can exercise physically. So don't you think that if we're going to get stronger spiritually, we might need to carve out some time in our day devoted to spiritual exercise? Don't you think? Go hand in hand. All right, go over to Romans chapter 4. Here's a neat verse. Romans chapter 4. Almost done here. Spiritual strength. Romans 4. And this is about Abraham. Go to Romans 4, verse 20. Romans 4, verse 20. This is, remember, God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a child. They're old. And if you look at, look at verse 4:19. Speaking of Abraham. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief," watch this, "but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Now, you study the life of Abraham. How come Abraham was so strong in faith? Here's the thing about Abraham. God gave Abraham promises, and Abraham believed them and acted on them. That's all he did. He believed what God said, and he acted on it. And that's why he has the testimony right here of being strong in faith. I mean, think about what the Lord did. He took two old people that couldn't have a child, and he worked a miracle. What happened? They had a child. So you understand, that was not because of anything associated with their physical strength, because they really didn't have any. The Lord worked a miracle there. So think about this. Let me make an application here. The miracle was a baby being born, right? Wasn't that a miraculous birth that took place? A miraculous birth took place that had to have been the Lord did it. It's the only way you can explain it. Guess what the Lord wants to do with you and me today? He wants to use us so that miraculous births can take place of a spiritual nature. John 3, what did the Lord say? You must be born again. You know why you need to be born again? Because physically there's a problem. Your physical birth resulted in you being born a sinner. So if you're going to rely on the physical, it's not going to take you very far in any endeavor. So we need the spiritual to get what we really need. All right, how about two more places here? Go to Philippians 4. Now here's the verse that we all know, Philippians 4. I won't read the whole chapter, but if you go back, the context of this chapter is Paul talking about verse 11. He talks about, hey, I've learned to be content with whatever I've got. Doesn't matter what I got. The chapter is actually about really not having everything you need physically and still being okay. So there's some physical weakness associated with what he's about to say here in verse 13. Verse 12, he talks about being hungry and suffering. And with that in the context, look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I know I read that wrong for the longest time. Here's what Paul's saying there. He's saying, when I have weak moments, that is when the Lord manifests His strength in me. Because that's when I need Him the most. So I can do what needs to be done. I can do all things, but only through Christ. Because Christ is the one that gives him the ability to get through the tough times. Christ is the one who strengthens him to endure that. Okay, I said two more places, but maybe two additional. So let's go real quick here. Go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, and then one more after that. I got to hit the last one here. So 2 Timothy 2, this is a short one. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the content of biblical strength. We want to be strong in spirit. We want to be strong in faith like Abraham. How about this one? Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what? Grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you ever think about grace? Grace is a great thing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. There's so many things we could say about grace. It's a wonderful thing that comes to you through Jesus Christ and being saved. Notice there it says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what we need sometimes when dealing with people? You got to give them some grace, don't you? Because we think we're so much more spiritual than they are. And they need to get on our level. And there's times, and I know you got to be careful here, but there's times where you just got to give some people some grace, and you're not going to give them grace unless you have grace to give. How are you going to have grace to give? You're going to have to be strong in grace. Where is that grace going to come from? Through Jesus Christ. When I think about grace, I think we all need to be reminded of what we really are. What are you? You're nothing. Without Jesus Christ, you're really nothing. So when it comes to dealing with people, I know we often get frustrated because people sometimes don't advance at the levels that we want to or advance at the pace that we want to spiritually when dealing with them. But, hey, maybe extend them some grace. And you never know what the Lord may do. Didn't the Lord extend you a lot of grace? I know I've gotten, way more than I ever, it's something you don't deserve anyway. But on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace. Okay, last one here. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, back to the left. 2 Corinthians 12, this is the classic passage where Paul talks about being weak. And then he tells you and me how he gets through it. 2 Corinthians 12, around there in verse 7. The Lord is my strength. He certainly is. 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you find Paul talks about this thorn in the flesh, and he tried to get the Lord to take it away, verse 8, and the Lord said no. So folks, how come the Lord allowed Paul to have this thorn in the flesh? What do you see there in verse 7? Why did he do that? He gave him the thorn in the flesh so that Paul would stay humble. Here's a man that got more revelation than maybe anybody ever. I know you can compare him with the prophets, but Paul got a lot. And stuff that was previously not known, he got from the Lord and he wrote down for us. So it'd be easy for a guy like that to think, man, I'm really something. The Lord showed me and he didn't show all these other guys. So what did the Lord do with Paul? He gave him a thorn in the flesh so Paul would remember where his strength came from. So look at the next verse, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect when? Yeah, I don't like reading that verse, but that is the truth, isn't it? We call on the Lord for strength when we're weak and when we're really weak. Then he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's really neat. Then he says, verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. For whose sake? For whose sake? For Christ's sake. Now watch the last statement. It's a good one. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Guess when the Lord shows His strength through you and me the most? I know we don't like talking about it and saying it, but guess when He does it? Guess when He has done it with Miss Linda here recently and Brother Paul here recently? When they were weak. And I think they'll be okay with me saying that. Because you realize, and we all of us have been there at some time or another. I mean, I've not been through what these two have been through, and most of us haven't, but for goodness sake, when these folks got weak, the first thing they wanted was for people to pray for them, right? Because they realized there's only one way that we're going to get through this, and that's with the Lord upholding me, upholding us. So, good reminder for all of us, because sooner or later, guess what's going to happen to all of us? You're going to be weak. And the Lord has a way of using our weaknesses to say, you don't know everything. You can't do everything. You need to rely on me. The Lord says that. So, good reminder. I know it certainly was for me. The Lord is my strength. The barbell doesn't make you strong. The Lord makes you strong. The dumbbell, of all things to call it, huh? Dumbbell. You could have come up with a better name than that. The dumbbell doesn't make you strong. The Lord makes you strong. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for what you showed us here tonight. Just thank you for the great examples in your word of folks that went before us who manifested strength because you gave it to them. And they had it when they really needed it the most, when they were going through tough times. And I sure thank you for the testimony of so many right here among us, most recently Miss Linda and Brother Paul, just going through tough times and just relying on you. And we just thank you for that testimony that they have shown during these times. We thank you and praise you for what you've done and bringing them through it. And we don't know what's ahead. Any one of us could certainly encounter something in the days ahead that's very difficult. May our first move that we make be to call on you and trust you, and may that move even be made before anything even happens. And I pray that we go out of here tonight trusting you to take every step, trusting you to lift our arms and legs and to speak and to hear and to see. And we sure thank you for what you have blessed us with and all those abilities. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.